Good morning to you all. Some of you may have seen a notice hanging, certainly it's outside this hall, and there is a title on this notice, and one assumes that it's the title of the shear. I'd like to say that the title has nothing to do with me at all, not a title that I supplied or that a subject that I've ever spoken about. Somebody has done this for a prank or maliciously, I don't know. But there is a story, a famous story, of Yisrael Salanta, who came in to give a drosha, and someone had changed the Marim HaKaimus. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, being what he was, he actually could speak to the new Marim HaKaimus within 30 seconds of him seeing it. I'm afraid I'm not made of that material, and not that I want to speak about that subject anyway, but... What I'm going to talk about are Inyona Diyoma, subjects about Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and matters like that.
Someone taking it down.
Yeah, taking it down. Tani Bepirke Rabbi Elezer, Barish Chodesh Elul, Omar Kodesh Baruch Lemoshe, Alei Elai Pehoro. The Rabbeinu Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, come up the mountain. And we know it's Lekabel Luchois Shniois. Just a few moments of the timeline. We know that on the 6th of Sivan, we heard the Rabbeinu Shalom's voice. Moshe Rabbeinu went up 40 days, came down, Shivos Batamas, and smashed the Luchois. And then he went up again, stayed for 40 days to get Kapora for Klal Yisrael. It was a terrible time for Klal Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shalom was going to annihilate the whole nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up to plead, and he received then Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem Hashem, Kel Rach Mechanun, and he managed one way or the other somehow to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Klal Yisrael, Salachti Kidborecha. And then when he came down, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, he went back up, and this is where this Pasuk, Aleya Elai Hahora, the Rabbeinu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go up the mountain again to receive Luchois Shniois. However, on this occasion, it says, Ve'viru shofar b'machaneh, they sounded a shofar when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, and the reason was that they shouldn't repeat their earlier mistake. Because during the first 40 days, between the 6th of Sivan and Shivos Batamas, they were meant to count 40 days, and after that Moshe Rabbeinu would come down with the Luchos Rishonos. And we all know what happened. The Egel happened because they miscounted. Some accountant has done some wrong counting. And therefore, in order that the mistake should not be repeated, so therefore on Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain to receive Luchos Shniois, they sounded a shofar, so everybody should know this is day one. Yeah, there should be no mistake in the counting. Now, the difficulty about this is, and the Siv Sechaim asks this question, is the following. That we have instituted, or Chachomim instituted, the blowing of the shofar during Elul because of this event, because of this sounding of the shofar during on Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up in the Midbar. Therefore, the Chachomim introduced the sounding of a shofar throughout the whole Elul. Two kashas on this, because since the reason why the shofar was sounded on the first of Elul in the Midbar was because the people made a mistake beforehand and they shouldn't repeat their mistake, so therefore the purpose of the shofar was a sort of siren, it was a signal, nothing to do with tshuva. Yet we know that the shofar that we are hearing every day in the morning, some people have the minig to blow it again at Mincha time. The shofar that we hear during this month is, of course, shofar shel tshuva. So what's the connection between the siren, the signal that they blew in the Midbar, and what we have today? That's the kash of the Siv Sechaim. And why the whole month? All right, you've instituted Zecha for that particular sounding of the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Why the whole month? So the Rosh tells us, firstly, that the whole month is there because maybe Klal Yisrael needed one blowing of the shofar one day. What we need is a little bit more, and therefore we blow it the whole month. What about the basic kasha about the difference between the shofar shel tshuva that we have and the shofar that they had on Rosh Chodesh Elul in the Midbar. And the answer is given to us by the altar, Rav Yeruchim, and he quotes the following. You know, there are different types of mistake. There are mistakes and mistakes. And there is one sort of mistake, which we've been presenting till now, which is an arithmetic error. They miscounted the 40 days, and therefore they had to do something about it. And so Rabbi Shem commanded to sound a shofar, to blow a shofar under a Scottish elm. But there are other sorts of mistakes. He quotes the following. This comes from a medrash that deals with Nasa Odom, when the Rabbi Shalom commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to write Nasa Odom. Moshe Rabbeinu was at first horrified. You know what the Apikorsim are going to do with this? Yeah, Nasa Odom, let us make man. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shloim had to command Moshe Rabbeinu to write Nasa Odom to teach the lesson of Anvasanusoi Shel Rabbeinu Shloim, that even the Rabbeinu Shloim Kaviyochel will consult with others when he's doing something. So Nasa Odom. What about the Apikorsim? And the quote is, Horoit said Litois Yito. A person who wants to make a mistake, a person who wants to say something, do some apikoros, he'll find a way to do it. Never mind, the lesson of the anrivus of the Rabbeinu Shloim is more important than protect ourselves from apikorosim, who will find a way anyway. So therefore, we have an idea that one must do the right thing. The Rabbeinu Shloim, of course, did the right thing and nevertheless laid himself open to the accusations of the apikorosim. Doesn't matter. So from that we derive, says Rav Yochum, that, you know, there are different sorts of mistakes. Roitzer litois means somebody who wants to make a mistake will make a mistake. And therefore, even the Yidden standing, waiting at Har Sinai for Moshe Rabbeinu's return, there was an element in it that the miscounting wasn't just a pure arithmetical error. The miscounting was, you know, we're not so unhappy about the fact that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will not return. And so it was a mistake, but behind that mistake, there was something subconscious. Have a look at Tzivtzei Chaim, he expands on a little bit, but that is basically the message. So therefore it works out that the shofar shel Rosh Chodesh in the Midbar wasn't just a siren, wasn't just a signal. It was also a shofar shel tshuva. And therefore the Chachomim drew on that and instituted our shofar during Elul on the basis that the original shofar was also a shofar shel tshuva. And therefore that makes it very, very different. Therefore we have our Shloshim Yoim Kodem HaChag. You know, we always prepare for the Ont of Shloshim Yoim. And that leads me on to the Tfilis that we are preparing for, which are the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, and before that we do, of course, slichas, also some preparation. But let's have a look at the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and look at them in the light of the tefillahs every day on weekdays. And looking at the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, we know that on Rosh Hashanah, Rochel was remembered, Chanah was remembered, and Sora was remembered. And the Meiri adds that in what way were they remembered? Of course, we all know that they were Akoris, and they had children as a result of, says the Meiri, tefillah. So they davened, and because of their tefillahs, they were remembered, punkt, sort of, on Rosh Hashanah. And that's, of course, why we have the Avtoira of Hannah and the whole story, and her tefillahs. But the point is that we see from here that you can ask for individual tzorachim on Rosh Hashanah, which we know we can't do. We're not allowed to do that. And yet, these three cases seem to emphasize that we can ask for our own needs on Rosh Hashanah. And so, there we have a little bit of a problem here. We have a bit of a problem because when we look at the tefillahs on weekdays, the tefillahs with all the different, the list of what we have, Hashiveinu, Rafa'enu, the whole list that we say every day, three times a day. And when you think about it, asks Rav Matisyo Shlita, Matisyo Salomon, he asks the following question. So if I had a choice between the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and the tefillahs on weekdays. Tefillahs on weekdays are very specific. Tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, all these wonderful, very, very abstract tefillahs. And on weekdays, we're very, very specific about what we ask for. So if I had a choice, which tefillahs should I say when, I would choose to say my specific tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, because after all, the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Ma'aseh, Psuchim Lefanov, the Rebbeinu Shalom is judging exactly Ezo Lecherev, Ezo Lesholom, Ezo Lerov, Lesoiva, etc. All the individual needs are being put together, a whole package for the year is being put together on Rosh Hashanah. How much panos I have, Chaim Zayin, etc. Everything about the details of my year are put together on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, since we see from those other cases that you can ask for individual needs, surely that is the day that I should have asked for all my individual needs. And maybe during the year when all my individual needs are settled on Rosh Hashanah, how much panosa I'll have, etc., how much success I'm going to have, then during the year, etc. Shouldn't it be that way round? Noisef Lazer, actually, the Nefesh HaChaim points out that the tefillahs that we say on weekday, the tefillahs that we say every single day, are in fact also not just personal private requirements, not because I want my life to be better. They really are in order that I can be a better yid, that my avodas Hashem is improved. That's why I'm asking for all these things, not because I want them, but because I need them in order to be an Ovid Hashem, says the Nefesh HaChaim. He brings a marshal of a soldier. You know, a soldier goes into battle, yeah, is drafted into the army. So a soldier, what he does at the time that he's marching towards the enemy, he's going to fight the enemy, he doesn't think about his private needs, you know, at home. He thinks about what I've got to do for king and country. That used to be the case anyway. Whether it is or not today, I don't know. But the fact is that he thinks about what's needed for the army, with his colleagues, etc. That's the point, what I need it for. And so says the Nefesh HaChaim, there's a marshal for our tefillahs during the whole of the week, the whole of the year, is the fact that I want those for my avodas Hashem. So really and truly, the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and the tefillahs during the weekday have the identical purpose. The reason is the same. I want to be an Ovid Hashem, and on Rosh Hashanah we say, Malai Kol HaOlam, etc., Kol HaOlam, Kol HaOlam, Kol HaOlam, etc. We want Kavod Rebbeinu Shelolam. That's the objective. That's certainly the objective on Rosh Hashanah, but it's also the objective of weekdays. So therefore, if I had to make a choice between when I say my tefillahs for my individual needs and when I say my tefillahs for Malai Kol HaOlam, the big ideas, the great ideas for the Rebbeinu Shelolam, says Rav Matisyo, I would have chosen it the other way around. So we have a little problem. And he answers it with a very sweet marshal. He says, imagine the following scenario. You have a Tsar of a Medina. And this Tsar of Medina is extremely wealthy. He's also a great benefactor to the people of the Medina. And he made his money and he has his wealth because he has the monopoly on all building materials. If anybody wants to make a building, a structure of any sort, he's got to buy the building materials from this particular Tsar, from this particular mahsan. He has a vast mahsan, a vast storehouse of everything you can imagine, from boards to windows to bricks to panes of glass, everything he's got, and people must come to buy their materials from him. And of course, that makes him a very powerful person. One in particular person that he nurtured, and he was Makarov, was a young architect, a young builder, who he very much took a liking to, who rose in the ranks and became a very well-known designer of buildings and builder of buildings. And the Tsar took him to him and, you know, nurtured his progress and his success. One day, this young builder, very, very talented man, came to the king and said, King, Tsar, I want to make you a beautiful palace. I will design it. I'd like to make you this beautiful palace. The king was very impressed. Yes, beautiful palace. I'd love one of those. And you know, go ahead and build that palace, design it, build it, And of course, my machsan is open to you. Whenever you want to come, come to my machsan, take whatever you need from my storehouse. So that's what happened. So every single day, this man with his helpers turned up at the machsan and wheeled his barrow in, the large, you know, they have these sort of platforms on wheels, wheeled his platform in, and he was motioned by the staff to the front of the queue, you know, the long queue of people all come to buy building materials. He's motioned to the front, and the staff, you know, say, what do you want? And he gives them a list. Every single day, he gives them a rishima of all the things he needs for today. And they run around and get it together and load on to his platform. And he says, thank you very much, and wheels the platform out without paying. And everybody else is queuing up, you know, wondering, well, what's special about this person? Anyway, and they become a little bit aware that this man is a special position. He's very close to the king, he's building something for the king. And that's why he goes to the front of the queue, gets his barrow filled up, and doesn't have to pay a penny, because this is all for the Tsar, this is all for the king. And this is a moshel that we have, you see, for our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah as opposed to weekday. What we say on Rosh Hashanah, Malayach kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha, all in the tefillahs. This is where the architect, the young builder, comes to the king and says, I want to make you a palace. I want to make you a place here, a dir b'tachtonim, want to make you a lovely palace. And the king is very, very happy about that and wants it to go ahead. And so he gives permission to this builder, come into machsan any time you like, fill up your barrel, fill it up, take what you need, give me your rishima. That's what our weekday tefillahs are about. So in Rosh Hashanah, we build the Ribbono Shel Olam a palace. This is the idea. We put our minds into doing that. We make the suggestion that Ribbono Shel Olam's maskim. We're successful, but in every day we come with our list to the Ribbono Shel Olam's machsan. And that's why the tefillahs are that way round. That's why the tefillahs are this wonderful esoteric type tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. And yet every day of the year, we say these tefillahs, we're coming with our rishima because we are successful bedin. Carrying on.
The
rishima is decided on Hashanah. You can have everything you like from my machsan. Just come, give me the list that we need, and you'll have your daily needs. Today's list. Yeah. Continuing with the concept and the ideas behind tefillah, there's another one. In Devarim, capital Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, a very famous Pasuk, famous because it's oft quoted in very different contexts. And it says in that Pasuk, Ki mi goy godoil, asher loy elakim kroivim elov. Where is there a nation where the Ribbono Shel Olam is so near to this nation? Kashem elakeinu, b'chol kareinu elov. Like Hashem elakeinu, b'chol kareinu elov, whenever we call to him, is with us. So there seems to be something about a certain tefillah or other aspect, something else that's happening that is special to the Eden. This is said to the Eden, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is near to the Jewish people, near to our nation. So the question is, you know, what is this talking about? What's the circumstance? I'm going to tell you a piece from Rav Velvel Brisker, who explains it in three different ways, three mahalchim. And he says there is something special about certain things that we do, which is special and particular to Klal Yisrael. The Goyim don't have it. We've got it. And the first suggestion that he makes is, we've got the idea of Tefillah B'Tzibur. When 10 men get together and they make a minyan, difficult in these times with God minyanim going strong, when 10 people get together and they make a minyan, that forms a special group. And the tefillahs that are produced by a minyan are different from the tefillahs produced by a yochid. The goyim don't have that. If there are 50,000 goyim davening, praying, then that counts as 50,000 different prayers. They don't come together in any way at all. Even though the concept of tefillah is common among other nations as well. And indeed, the Shloimeh Melech says, Gamas Anochri, he says also that the Beis HaMikdash should be there also and available to Goyim as well. So Tfilah is available to Goyim. The concept does exist. We're not ruling that out. But they don't have the idea of Tfilah B'tzibur. And of course, the Pesuk in Yeshaya, we take a say in Slichas, he basically based Tfilah, Yikorin Acholo Amim, that Tfilah is available to everybody, to all Amim, to everybody. So Tfilah B'tzibur is something very special, and therefore the first pshat of Rav Velvel is that this Pesuk, that the Rabbi Hashem is especially with us, that we have something very, very unique in our relationship with the Rabbi Nishlo Elom. It's called Tefillah B'Tzibur. We can make our Tefillah so much stronger when we get together. Each person sort of, so to speak, covers up the deficiencies of everybody else. And each one of us do that. In other words, we come together and coalesce into a minion, which means that we produce Tefillahs that can cut through all the barriers and get to the Kisei HaKavod. So Tefillah B'Tzibur, the first of our offerings, the first of our terutzim. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in relation to the Yud Gimel Midos, says the following: Bris Kruso B'Yud Gimel Midos Livnei Yisrael Bris Kruso She'ena Chayzeres Reikom. There is something very special about the Tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu received from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'Chanun, during that interregnum period, during that second 40 days, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain on Yud Ches Tammuz, stayed there for 40 days and came down Erev Shchodesh Elul. That time he was davening, and that time he got the Yud Gimel Midos from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Taka, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, says, Bris Kruso, Ve'ena Chazeres Reikom. Whenever we say that, then we will not be left empty-handed. We'll always come out with something. We may not get exactly what we want, but we will come out with something. So the Yud Gimel Midos are something that are very special, that were given to the Yidden. And Taka, Hine Anoichi Kairis, Pasuk in Shmois, Bris neged kolancha es en eflois asher lo nivru b'chol ha'oretz b'chol ha'goyim. So even though the Rabbi Hashem does show rachamim to goyim as well, of course, but nevertheless, for Klal Yisrael, the Yud Gimel Midos have a bris attached to them. They don't have a bris. We have a bris. And therefore, could be, says Rav Velvel, that what the Pasuk is talking about in Devarim, in verse Chanon, that Klal Yisrael have got a special relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, b'chol kareini elav, it means when we say the Yud Gimel Midos, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will always respond. That's Teretz number two. So we have two ideas of how Ki Mi Goy Godol works. Either it is with Tefillah B'Tzibur, or it is with the Yud Gimel Midos. There is a third mahalach on this. And we have a pasuk in Parshas Balak where Bilam says, in praising the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Yidden, and Ribbono Shel Olam, Bilam says the following: Hashem Elokav Imoy Usruas Melech Boy. Hashem Elokim, Ribbono Shel Olam, is with us, and the Truas Melech, whatever Trua means in a moment, we'll see. Truas Melech, they have, yeah, Truas Melech Imai, they are with Klal Yisrael. Rashi teaches Truas Melech as meaning from the root Rea, being friend. That the Rabbi Hashem is a special friend of Klal Yisrael, and therefore we have this special relationship, and Bilam is praising the relationship of Klal Yisrael with the Rabbi Nishlo Elo, that we have this special relationship, and therefore we are very Mizborach, we are very blessed as a nation. The Ibn Ezra has another taish, that trua, taka means trua. Trua means the shofar, the trua of the shofar. And therefore, what Bilam is saying is that Klal Yisrael have this special mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, of trua, and therefore that is very special, and that forms the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Freitzach the kasha, of course, we've got lots of other mitzvahs as well. You know, we shake lulav, we put mezuzahs on our doors, we wear tzitzis, all sorts of other mitzvahs. What is special about trua? Why is Bilam singling out trua as that mitzvah which makes us very, very close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? And what he suggests is that, sure, tkiyas shofar on Rosh Hashanah is one of the tariag mitzvahs, no doubt about it, undisputable, indisputable. there's something else to Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. And that it is a special form of tefillah. It's a new form of tefillah. And he brings a few rayas from the Machzor. Shoimea, Koil Truas, Amma Yisrael, Barachamim. If it was just a mitzvah, what's Rachamim doing here? So from that, he derives that it's not just one of the Tariyag mitzvahs that we do, of course it is. We say also, Kabul Barachamim of Barotzain, that the Rabbi Shem should be Makabul, our Tekiyas Rachim Barotzain. So you see that all the Lashoinas of Tefillah here. And also, we have Kiyata Shoimea, Koil Shoifel, Mazin Trua. So Shomer Kol Shofar, the Rebbeinu Shalom is firstly Shomer Kol Shofar, and he's Mazin Trua. Why the double expression? One is referring to the Kabbalah of the mitzvah, yes, Tariq mitzvahs, we're blowing Shofar. And the other one is the fact that it's a special sort of tefillah, and therefore it is something different in when we do this mitzvah, we're actually doing a different sort of davening. So this is apparently echoed by the Ravid as well. Rachmim Akama Shemaya, that the Ravid also says that this is a form of tefillah. Ashaya. Okay, so it's a form of tefillah. Why do we need a different sort of tefillah? What's wrong with all our tefillahs, you know, that we say from the Machzor? What's wrong with that? Why do we need this other form of tefillah, if that's what it is? Beis Halevi and Drosha Tesvov explains the following. That the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that when a person davens on Rosh Hashanah, it's ki'ilu, the person was like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, lifnai v'lifnim. It's got some sort of parallel, learning Gemara there, it's Chavov. And the Gemara says that a person, when he's davening on Rosh Hashanah, has got the status, should have the feeling of being like the Kohen Gadol, lifnai v'lifnim, on Yom Kippur. But there are special conditions of the Kohen Gadol lifnai v'lifnim on Yom Kippur. We know that he can only wear big day lav on. He's not allowed to wear the big day zov. Why? Because of the principle of Ein Katega Nasa Senega. Don't remind the Baruch Shalom of the Egel. Don't wear any gold. So he goes in with big day lav on. Well, if that's the point, that the principle of Ein Katega Nasa Senega applies when we fly v'lifnim, that means it must apply on Rosh Hashanah as well. Ein katega nasa sanega. And so he says, well, how can I use my mouth with words? You know, I use my mouth with words all year round for other things, occasionally Lashon Hara and some rechilas. So how can I use that same mouth to be lifnai lifnim on Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, I'm possible with my mouth. And therefore, and Taki Rav Shimon ben Yochai in the Gemara says, in Yerushalmi, says that originally I thought I should, you know, that the Rebbeinu Shem should have created us with two mouths. One for Divrei Torah, and one for other things. And then I realized, he says, that if the Rebbeinu Shem had given me two mouths, I would have used both mouths for, etc., for the wrong thing. So, just as well, we've only got one. Beis Halevi, explaining Ein Katega Nasa Senega, that's why the Rebbeinu Shem gave us a new form of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah that we can use, so to speak, some of the time during our Musaf. A new form of tefillah that is wordless, doesn't use words, only uses sound. And it's articulated completely differently from the other way. And therefore we understand why the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is not just one of the Tariq mitzvahs, but it's a new form of tefillah. And that means it comes to us, it comes to the Rebbeinu Shalom, untainted with any Ein Katega Nasa Sanega. And therefore we hope that this is going to be the quality, the content, the kavanas of our Rosh Hashanah. We have a number of things. Firstly, with Petula B'tzibah, we have a tzibah. We also say Hashem Hashem Kirachim Achanun. Certainly during Slichas and Yom Kippur, we have that tefillah. Also another reason why Yidin are special, Yidin are in a special position, and of course Tekiyas Shofar coming in a few weeks' time, we have Tekiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, that it should be Oile Yofe, it should go to the Kisei HaKavod, and poil all the things we are trying to do together with all of Klal Yisrael in Herod Yemei.